Well, good morning, Thanksgiving Church. My name is Anna Rowe, and I'm the intern pastor here at Thanksgiving Church. And I'm excited to be with you, able to worship and take a deeper dive into the Bible today. Or as the cool kids say, I'm stoked. But before we begin, I want to share with you how important being able to worship online has been to me and my family. So my grandma, she lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I live in Bellevue, Nebraska, and my mom lives in St. Paul, Minnesota. And when I was a kid, we were able to worship together. But I realized that as I started moving to college, that I took being able to worship together for granted, and I really started missing it. I started missing being able to discuss what we heard and how we were maybe awakened to the sermon that day. But being able to worship online has given my family that opportunity to worship together again. So Mom and Grandma, I love you guys a lot, and I'm excited to be able to worship with you today. And I'm even more excited that we're able to worship with our extended Thanksgiving family. And I would like to take a moment to introduce myself a little bit more deeply if you don't know who I am. So I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, majoring in economics. So go Badgers! I would say that I am an avid dog lover. I know everyone says that they think they have the best dog in the whole wide world, but I truly think my dog, Bailey, is the best dog. So here's a photo of her, and I love to talk about her with anyone who wants to chat. I also have a strong, I'm not sure if it's an addiction or really just strong liking for pizza and ice cream. I truly believe that I could eat that 24/7 and not get sick of it. And so what have I been up to during quarantine? Well, I've been watching a lot of the Hulu and Netflix, probably way too much to even admit. But I do want to point out that I have been watching it with the subtitles on. So Mom, I really have been keeping up on my reading skills. But all joking aside, let's jump in for today. And now this weekend, it isn't just a normal Memorial Day weekend. It's not just a normal weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. That's not normal at all. And when we think about the purpose of Memorial Day, we usually think about the honorable men and women who have sacrificed their lives serving our country. And reflecting on Memorial Day and what we may leave behind got me thinking deeply about how I want to be remembered. And so a perfect example of someone we may strive to be remembered like is Jesus. And he's remembered for many, many different qualities. And one quality he's known for is encouragement. And when we look at the accounts of the gospel in the Bible, we see many areas where Jesus has encouraged the weak, the unknown, the marginalized, and those who have felt completely hopeless. His ministry is full of encouragement. And given the circumstances that we face today, who wouldn't welcome being encouraged? And so as I explored this idea of encouragement in the Bible, I was inspired by one of Jesus' followers, whose ministry was full of encouragement. God used this man to encourage many that he encountered. And as we learn together today, I hope you are just as inspired as I was when I learned about this Christ follower. I hope you are awakened to the opportunities in your own life where God is calling you to be an encourager. So, who is this mystery man? Well, drum roll, please. It's Joseph. And so now I bet you guys are thinking that I'm kind of crazy. You're thinking of all the Josephs that you know in the Bible, and you're kind of wondering where I'm going with this sermon. Well, I want to show you a Joseph that you may not know or have heard about. So take out your Bibles and open up to Acts 4, verse 36, as we go on this journey to explore Joseph's encouraging ministry. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. Joseph was such an encourager that the apostles gave him the nickname Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And I hope today you are inspired and you're awakened to the qualities of Barnabas' encouragement. The first quality is Barnabas was a generous encourager. Barnabas sold a field he owned and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. To give some context behind the book of Acts, it follows the early church after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. In the early days of the church, being a Christian was extremely hard. They were persecuted, imprisoned, and killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. It went so far to the extent that Jewish people actually stopped doing business with Christians. And so in response to that, the early Christian church, what they did is they started pooling their resources together. They would pool their food, their money, and their property together to be able to support one another. And so that's where we see Barnabas sold the field he owned and gave the financial profits to the apostles to take care of the early Christians. And as we look at this a little bit more closely, it doesn't say, we don't see Barnabas tithing and giving 10%. Barnabas doesn't give 20% and he doesn't give half of the profits from selling the land. No, he gave it all. This was an extremely generous gift that encouraged all Christians in Jerusalem. I can't imagine how encouraged I would have felt as a Christ follower by Barnabas's generous gift. And so Barnabas has caused me to reflect on something I've struggled with recently in my own life. I'm passionate about finances. I love to make a budget, and I love to invest for the future. And when the events of COVID-19 first hit, I became nervous and worried about my finances, just like maybe some of you all did as well. I mean, we saw on the news that people were getting laid off. People were filing for unemployment, and it was predicted that this was going to be the same or worse financial situation as the Great Depression. There was, and there still is, extreme uncertainty, sort of like the financial circumstances the early Christian church was facing when we first meet Barnabas in Acts 4. And so I remember looking at my budget and realizing that I was going to need to cut something out just in case something happened. And this was my first thought. And to be completely honest with you, I'm super embarrassed to even admit this. But my first thought was, well, I'm going to cut my contributions out to the church to save money. And then I sat there and I justified why that would be okay in my own head. And so here I am, a seminary intern, an aspiring pastor, and that was my first thought. I'm glad to say I didn't do that. I didn't stop contributing to the church, but I also didn't do what Barnabas did. In uncertain times, he took his property and he sold it, and then he gave a generous gift to the church. Now that's generous. And so I have been awakened by Barnabas's generous encouragement to be and do better in my own life. So a question for us is, where can we show generous encouragement? Is God asking us, like he did Barnabas, to become a generous financial encourager? Or maybe God is calling you to be an encourager by being more generous in your listening, by being more generous in your hospitality or your compassion. Barnabas was a generous encourager, and we want to ask God to awaken us to that kind of generous encouragement in our own lives. And so as our journey continues in Acts, we meet a man named Saul. And Saul was a devout Jew and Pharisee who terrorized Christians by hunting them down, having them killed, or imprisoning, having them imprisoned, and approving of their deaths. And Christians feared the name Saul. But one day, Saul, on his way to Damascus, had an encounter with the risen Christ, and he was forever changed. Saul was so much changed that his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And he became a devout Christian, preaching the gospel, and he's been on fire for God ever since. And that's where we pick it back up in chapter 9, where we see Saul sets out to meet the apostles. When Paul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. This leads to the second quality of encouragement. Barnabas was a courageous encourager. God had awakened Barnabas to the change that he brought about in Saul. Barnabas saw the evidence for Saul's conversion in how he preached the gospel, and he heard about his encounter with the risen Christ in Damascus. Saul wanted to meet the apostles, but they wanted nothing to do with them. Honestly, maybe the apostles thought that Saul wanting to meet them was a way that he could trap them. But Barnabas put his reputation on the line, and he risked his relationship with the apostles and brought Saul to meet the apostles. And this is the same Saul, the Saul that was the enemy of the Christian church, the one that terrorized Christians right in front of the apostles' own eyes. And Barnabas vouched for the credibility of Saul's conversion, and he told the apostles of his bold preaching of the gospel. Because of Barnabas' courageous encouragement, a strong relationship was built between Saul and the apostles. And the apostles later go on to support the missionary works of Saul to the Gentiles. And so growing up as a child, we had a new neighbor. And for the sake of the story, let's just call her Karen. And Karen, she was super, super knowledgeable in birds. She knew about all the different types of birds. She knew about the food that you would feed them. And then she knew about, like, bird feeders. And as a new neighbor, she was super eager and excited to get out and share her knowledge and meet her new neighbors. But the way she did it and her approach was very direct. And it rubbed a lot of the neighbors the wrong way. And the neighbors actually started to dislike her. And I remember hearing my mom numerous of times throughout the years telling our neighbors, she was courageously encouraging them to give Karen grace, to give her another chance, that her heart was in the right place. And then today, Karen is actually well-liked in the neighborhood, and she's actually helped out a lot of the people who at one time disliked her. So is God calling you to be a courageous encourager? Is God calling you to be a courageous encourager at your work, in the neighborhood, or maybe at home? Perhaps this is a good time to ask God to awaken you to how he would like for you to be a courageous encourager like Barnabas was. There is one last quality of encouragement that we find in Barnabas. Barnabas was a faithful encourager. By the time we get to chapter 16, Saul, who is now known as Paul, has been on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, planting churches in the Mediterranean. And they decide to take with them a young man named John Mark. And for some reason that we don't know, in the middle of their first missionary journey, John Mark abandons Saul and Barnabas, and he returns home. And then we read in verse 36, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. So Barnabas and Paul had a big disagreement between John Mark. Paul wanted nothing to do with John Mark because he left them. But Barnabas refused to give up on John Mark, which caused Barnabas and Paul to split up. And then we see that Barnabas and John Mark, they sail off to Cyprus. And we don't know how long Barnabas and John Mark spent together in Cyprus. But I imagine their time was filled with Barnabas faithfully encouraging John Mark. Barnabas probably taught, supported, and nurtured John Mark on what it meant to be a follower of Christ. And we know that the first gospel is the gospel of Mark. And it was written by none other than the young John Mark. We may have never heard of the gospel. We may have never have had the gospel of Mark without the faithful encouragement of Barnabas. So I want to invite you into a conversation where one of my mentors faithfully encouraged me. So one of my biggest fears in life, it's four letters. It's F-A-I-L. Okay, it's not the word fail, but it's the punch that comes with it. And I fear that I will always fail someone or someone I really care about. And so this fall, I was given the new opportunity to lead the Next Gen Senior High Live every Wednesday. And I had felt that I had failed. I felt that I had failed the students, I had failed the Next Gen volunteers, and I had ultimately failed God because the Wednesday night experiences were not going the way that I thought they should. And so as I headed into this meeting with my mentor, I carried with me a lot of ungodly thoughts, thinking that this just was not my calling and that I should just throw in the towel. And as I expressed that to my mentor, he said to me, "Anna, you're in an internship. You're supposed to make mistakes. You're supposed to learn. This is the time that you're supposed to grow. Nobody's expecting you to be perfect." And then he said this, which has stuck with me. "And Anna, you never fail in life. You only make a mistake, and then you learn from it." And that was just the faithful encouragement that I needed to hear at that time. And I imagine John Mark and Barnabas had many conversations like I did with my mentor, where Barnabas was a faithful encourager to John Mark, faithfully encouraging him as he made mistakes and he learned. Lord, please awaken us to be faithful encouragers like Barnabas. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to worship you. We ask that you awaken us to areas in our own life where we can be the encourager that you have called us to be. Help us to take on the qualities of encouragement that Barnabas had: generous encouragement, courageous encouragement, and faithful encouragement. Please join us as we encourage the ones that you have placed on our heart. We love you, God. Amen.